today's scripture reading is Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now as it happened, as they went, that they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her."
Father in heaven, we are more than thankful because of this wonderful opportunity, O Lord. We want to thank you because you care for us. We want to thank you because we can open your word, meditate, study, and listen to your voice. So, speak to us once again and use me today just as an instrument in your hands. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. As you have seen in the bulletins, today we're going to speak a little about Mary, Martha, and the Master. We are going to take some time to speak about three of these individuals. And when we speak about Mary, Martha, and the Master, in that family, there was another individual of whom we are not really going to speak about today, but he was part of that family, and that was Lazarus. Okay, we aren't going to speak about Lazarus. There's a beautiful Bible story about Lazarus also, but we will be omitting Lazarus today. And according to the scripture reading that we just read together, only three individuals are mentioned. Lazarus is not mentioned here. And in Luke 10, we find Mary, we find Martha, and we find the Master, we find Jesus Christ. And I will be taking a few minutes to introduce and to say that Jesus Christ, sure enough, traveled a lot during his 3 years of ministry. He was going from village to village, from town to town, preaching, healing, giving words of comfort to individuals wherever they were. I think that Jesus traveled hundreds of miles in his 3 years of ministry. And you know something? Jesus did not have a Ford. He did not have a Chevrolet. He did not have a Honda. He did not have a Toyota or a Nissan. Jesus didn't even have a donkey. How did he travel? How did he travel? Has Pastor Hughes told you not to speak up? Okay. How did he travel? By foot, walking. Those hundreds and hundreds of miles that he did move around was done by feet. Now, during all his ministry, there was a town that he really loved to visit. It was the town of Bethany. And for some reason that the Bible does not explain, there's no explanation in the Bible, there was a home that he loved to visit. And it was the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Apparently, These siblings were very close friends with Jesus. And apparently their hospitality was such that Jesus felt an ease when coming to Bethany. That's the reason why he visited that home frequently. I would like to take time, because I did mention that the Bible does not say, but I would like to read from the Desire of Ages something very interesting, chapter 57, page 524, and it says the following: the Savior blessed all who sought His help. He loves all the human family, but to some He is bound by peculiarly tender associations. His heart was knit by a strong bond of affection to the family at Bethany. And for one of them, His most wonderful work was wrought. At the home of Lazarus, Jesus had often found rest. The Savior had no home of His own. He was dependent on the hospitality of His friends and disciples. And often, when weary, thirsting for human fellowship, He had been glad to escape to this peaceful household, away from the suspicion and jealousy of the angry Pharisees. Here He found a sincere welcome and pure, holy friendship. Here He could speak with simplicity and perfect freedom, knowing that His words would be understood and treasured. So there was a close bond between Jesus and this family, yes or no? And it was interesting because the first paragraph I read says something interesting. You know, I've heard on many occasions that pastors should not have close friends when he is pastoring a church. But the first paragraph I read there said that Jesus loved everybody, but he had very close bonds with that family specifically. So it seemed as if though Jesus was closer to this family than to other families. He was human. And he found rest, he found peace in the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. That's what Desire of Ages says. Now, there is something very, very interesting and very, very wonderful, and it is Jesus, when he came to the home of people, always brought peace, joy to everybody. I have a question for you all today. We don't have Jesus living here on earth again, visiting Lancaster, Reynoldsburg, and Columbus, and towns. He's no longer here with us. But let us just imagine for a little while, if Jesus was still living here on earth, and let's say he was living in Columbus, and walking around the surroundings, and one of these days Jesus would say, I am going to Lancaster and the surroundings of Lancaster, and he would say, I will be coming to your home. Do you think that Jesus would feel at ease and welcomed to your home the way he felt when he went to Mary's and Martha's home? Just think for it. Think about it for a little while. Would he feel at ease? Would he want to come and visit your home? Would he feel good visiting with you? There must have been affinity between both. Would Jesus feel affinity coming at your home? Would you welcome him the way he should be welcomed? It's just for you to meditate for a little while. The experience that we find at Bethany does describe each and every one of us today. We find two incidents there. Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha weary and working very hard. Today I have taken time and have divided my presentation in three sections. And the three sections are Mary listening attentively, sitting at the feet of Jesus. The second portion will be Martha working. And the last section will be how it is that and in what way does Jesus treat those that have strayed away from him. Those are the three sections that we have divided the presentation of this morning. Let's go back to our scripture reading in the book of Luke, chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And let us take time and let us read verse 39. Luke chapter 10 and verse 39. It says here, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Who had that sister? Martha had a sister by the name of Mary, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what Jesus had to say. I will pause for a moment because I need to say, there is no better place where we can always be than the feet of Jesus Christ. Did you get that? There is no better place for us to be constantly and permanently than the feet of Jesus. I strongly believe that Jesus' feet is one of the most, if not the most wonderful place where we can spend time. And today, I want to mention four things about the feet of Jesus and what it represents. When we spend time to be at the feet of Jesus, there are four things that we are doing while we are at the feet of Jesus. Number one, the feet of Jesus is a place where we demonstrate submission. It's a place where we demonstrate submission. That when we are at his feet, we are submitting our lives to him. Let us read. And it's interesting. Let us read, and we will find in one chapter three different people at the feet of Jesus. Luke chapter 8. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. One chapter is so beautiful, so wonderful. And let us read verse 41 to begin with. Luke chapter 8 and verse 41. And it says, then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, he came and he fell at the feet. He fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house. Okay, this is the first incident that we find in chapter 8. Someone falling and throwing himself at the feet of Jesus. What was the name of this individual? Jairus. Who was Jairus? The verse mentions who Jairus was. A ruler of the synagogue. When Jesus was on earth, did the rulers of the synagogue, were they close to Jesus? Think for a while. Were the rulers of the synagogue close friends with Jesus? No, they were not. Rulers of the synagogue, Pharisees, Sadducees, priests, they were not close to Jesus. On the contrary, they were enemies of Jesus. Yes or no? And I imagine that Jairus was one of those. But you know what made the difference? What made the difference? What made the difference? Do you remember Jairus' story? His daughter, 12-year-old, was very sick. He had gone to all the doctors around the area, and there was no hope for his daughter. At the end, doctors said, your daughter will die. There is no hope for your daughter. When someone comes and tells you that your little boy will die, what will you do? That your grandson will die. What would you do? The uttermost that you can do to save his life. Yes or no? You will do the impossible to save the life of your child. Yes or no? And Jairus remembers. Everybody speaks about whom? Everybody says that he is a healer. I don't care what I have thought about Jesus. And that's why when he comes, he throws himself to the feet of Jesus, demonstrating what? Submission. He submitted himself. He recognized that he couldn't. He recognized that doctors couldn't. He recognized that his only hope was in whom? Was in Jesus Christ. So submissively, as a leader of the church, comes and falls at the feet of someone that he thought could be his only help. Beloved, whenever we cannot, let us be submissive, because God could. Do you get it? Whenever I can't, God still could. Jesus could. So Jairus comes and he falls at the feet of Jesus, recognizing that this was the only hope. It was the place of submission. That's the reason why. For Mary, there was no better place than the feet of Jesus. And she found that out the first time she was thrown at the feet of Jesus. And by the way, let me mention, Mary, in her life story, the Bible presents Mary at the feet of Jesus on three different occasions. And why do you think that she finds herself on three different occasions at the feet of Jesus? Because the first time, she did not go voluntarily. She was taken there by force. When did that happen? Do you remember? Okay, I hear some rumbling and mumbling, but I don't understand. when she was caught in the very act of adultery. The Bible is even more specific. In the very act of adultery, they were spying her. And they grabbed her, and they pulled her, and they dragged her, and they threw her where? Where did they throw her? At the feet of Jesus. What those Pharisees did not know, that the feet of Jesus is the best place where a sinner could be thrown. And she was thrown at the feet of Jesus. And after that experience, when Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more," she found out that the feet of Jesus is the best place where she could be found. That's the reason why. After that occasion, she is found in two other more cases at the feet of Jesus. The feet of Jesus is the best place for confession. Right there in Luke 8 again. Let's go to verse 47. Verse 47. Another incident in the same chapter. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Beloved, in this verse, I find that the feet of Jesus is the best place to be to confess our sins. What woman is this chapter speaking about now? Do you remember? What woman? The woman that had the issue of blood. She had been bleeding for how long? 12 years. Hey, you men, me, I don't understand what that means. But women do know what it means to be bleeding, right? And especially when you are sick and you just can't detain bleeding. And you know what I'm speaking about, ladies? And that's the problem what this woman had. She was bleeding for how long? Cycle after cycle. It couldn't stop. You know what that meant? She had spent all the money she had. She had gone to all the doctors and there was no way to be healed. And she thought, if only I could do what? And she did. And she walked away. But immediately after she did that, what did she feel? That the bleeding had stopped. And then Jesus asks, "Who touched me?" "Who touched me?" And Peter, as usual, there is always an outspoken individual anywhere you go. Peter, as usual, what did he do? "Master, how do you ask that question? So many people crowding you and touching you, and who touched you? Everybody has been touching you." No, there was a special touch. A touch from which power came out from me. At that moment, what happens? The woman understands what? That Jesus was speaking about her. She understood that she had been found. She had no alternative. So what does she do? So what does she do according to the passage now? She comes publicly, because remember, she was doing it without wanting to be noticed. But now she comes publicly and does what? And she throws herself at the feet of Jesus to confess the reason why she had done it. Beloved, the best place to demonstrate submission is where? The best place to confess our sins is where? At the feet of Jesus. Let's continue. The best place for devotion is the feet of Jesus. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 12 and verse 13. And then we're going to come back to Luke chapter 8. Let's go to John chapter 12 and verse 3. 12:3. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. The best place to demonstrate devotion is where? The feet of Jesus. Mary again. The same Mary we're talking about. Remember, Jesus came to the house of Simon, the leper that had been healed. You remember that? And there they were. Simon had made a feast for Jesus. Lazarus was there. Lazarus was an invited guest in that occasion. Everybody was there. Mary was not there. So Mary comes in and she slips in without being noticed. And she goes directly where? To the feet of Jesus to hide so nobody can see her. Very low. And she had in her hand what? About a quart of perfume. Can you imagine that amount of perfume? Expensive perfume. So she breaks the bottle and does what? She throws and he pours the perfume where? At the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says that she took what? Her hair to wipe the perfume from where? So where was she? She was at the feet of Jesus again. Demonstrating devotion. What the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and everybody did not do to prepare Jesus for his death, his crucifixion, and his burial. Mary, recognizing and in appreciation and in love for what her master had done for her, she comes as a devoted Christian to worship him, sitting where? At his feet. The best place for devotion is the feet of Jesus. So let's go back. The best place to be submissive is the feet of Jesus. The best place to confess is the feet of Jesus. The best place to demonstrate our devotion is the feet of Jesus. Let's go back to Luke chapter 8. I told you, Luke has three incidents. Luke chapter 8 and verse 35 now. Verse 35. And the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out. Where? Sitting at the feet of Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Who was this gentleman? Do you remember? When Jesus came that morning early from that big problem they had in the sea, the big storm, you remember? And they landed and they went out. Jesus find himself, the Desire of Ages says it was two demon possessed. The Bible says it was one. Who do we believe? Okay, we usually say it's two of them. The Bible says that after his healing, now that he was totally healed, in his right mind, he is found where? At the feet of Jesus, listening to the words that Jesus had to tell him. Beloved, the best place to be in order to have peace is the feet of Jesus Christ. When there is turmoil, when there are problems, when there are difficulties, when you are depressed, when you are stressed and you don't know what to do, come to the feet of Jesus, because you will find peace and rest at the feet of Jesus Christ. The demon possessed, after he was healed, he remained at the feet of Jesus, because the feet of Jesus was the best place for him to feel comfort. Beloved, there is no place like the feet of Jesus Christ. No place. And Mary knew it. Mary understood this very clearly. So she is a good example for all those that want to learn to have an intimate relation with Jesus Christ. Mary is a good example for all of those that worship are in communion with God. Mary is a good example for all of those that have their moments of personal devotion with Jesus Christ. And beloved, in order to be overcomers, we have to learn to sit at the feet of Jesus, to spend time talking with Him and learning to listen to His voice. If we do not learn to sit at the feet of Jesus, we will not be able to grow. If we do not learn to sit at the feet of Jesus, we will be attacked by the devil and he will overcome us. You can have that assurance. But our strength and our refuge is only found when we take time and spend time on a daily basis to be at the feet of Jesus Christ. Enough for Mary. Let's go to the other one now. Let's go to Martha. What happens? In the same home, in the same incident, what happens now? Let's go to verse 40. Okay, Luke chapter 10 and verse 40 now. Let's read. 10:40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Martha was distracted by all the preparations that were needed to be made. Alert. Okay, alert. Listen to this now. Beloved, let us be careful with all the affairs and the many occupations. Let us be careful. It could become a devil's trap for us. Satan entangles us even when we are doing useful things. Did you get that? Satan entangles us even when we are doing what? Useful and good things. Sometimes we believe that when we are doing good things, it's always good. But you know that sometimes the devil can throw us to do good things to deviate our minds from Jesus? Hmm. Do you get that? Are you getting what I'm trying to present to you this morning? I can be involved, highly involved, in doing good things, but my good things are being led by Satan to distract me from Jesus Christ. Be careful. Question. Was Martha doing good things? Yes or no? Yes, she was doing good things. And that's the reason why many people have been thinking, why are we so drastic with poor Martha? She was doing good things. And you know that could happen in church also, not only in my daily life. We can be entangled and doing legitimate things in church for the good of the church that could be manipulated by Satan to deviate myself from Jesus Christ. Just like whom? Just like Martha. Let us look at Martha, for instance, for a little while. Jesus comes, the Bible passage does not say, but I'm almost sure, I'm using my imagination now. It's not in the Bible, so I'm using my imagination. And as preachers, we are allowed to do that, okay? Yes, I'm telling you the truth. We are allowed to do it. I believe that Jesus did not come by himself. Because he was always accompanied by whom? His disciples. So when he comes to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, I believe that he did not come by himself. I believe that, finish it for me, that Jesus came along with his disciples. How many? I don't know. So when he comes in tired. Their feet were what? Their feet were what and how? Dirty. Because he was always, remember what I said at the beginning? No Ford, no Chevrolet, no Nissan, no Toyota, not even a donkey. And roads were not what? They were not paved. Dirt roads. So how was the feet of Jesus and his disciples? Did they need water to be cleaned and washed? Were they tired? Do you think they were hungry? So why be drastic upon Martha? Weren't those important things to be done? Yes or no? Let us be honest. Yes or no? Essential? Yes. Who doesn't take care of their visitors when they come to their home? Do visitors like to be treated well when they go to visit someone? Yes. So why be drastic with Martha? Why be drastic with Martha? Let us take a closer look and see what happens with Martha. Because of doing this, instead of first of all taking time like her sister to be where? At the feet of Jesus. Okay? At the feet of Jesus. Number one, Martha becomes disgusted. Yes or no? She begins to grumble. Literally. She is disgusted. And she begins to grumble. She begins to speak illfully instead of listening. She becomes critical of her sister. She becomes doubtful of Christ's love. She becomes discouraged. And so discouraged that she reaches to the point of blaming whom for all of what was going on. She blames whom? She did not blame Mary, you know. She blamed Jesus. Let us read the verse again. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him. Who was that him? She came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. So who was the one to blame? Oh, Lord. How is it? Don't you see that I am working for you? Listen to this. Don't you see that I'm working for you? I'm doing something for you. I am heating the water so that your feet could be washed. I am preparing the meal for you because you are hungry. Don't you see that I'm sweating? Don't you see that I'm stressed? Don't you see that things are not finishing at the time when they should finish? It is your fault, Jesus. Why I am in this way? I am in this condition. Because if Mary would be with me, the food would be ready, your feet would be washed, and everything will be okay. So Jesus, don't let my sister sit down there when there's a lot of work to do in church. Do you see what this passage is really trying to teach us? She got disgusted. She grumbled. She had no peace. She began to speak illfully about Jesus. She doubted of Jesus' love. Beloved, all of that happens when we want to take the control of things on ourselves, on our own. And we do not pause to put Christ where? First, in everything we do. And come and rest peacefully and quietly at the feet of Jesus to be able to do what? To be able to do what? To listen to whom? To him. Because he always has the best solutions for our problems. He is the only one that can really give us the peace that we need when that peace is needed, beloved. What a difference between the sisters. Because one decided to be with Jesus and the other decides to do the work without the presence of whom? Of Jesus Christ. Now let us see Jesus' reaction. Because maybe this is the most beautiful and wonderful portion. Let us look at Jesus' reaction. Verses 41 and verses 42. How did Jesus respond? 41. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. You are worried. You are upset. You see, She was upset. She was grumbling. You're upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her. And what was that part that was better? Mary has taken the part that was better. Mary has taken time to do what? To sit at my feet and be taught from me to be able to continue a life of hope, a life of joy, a life that leads to eternity. Did Jesus accuse Martha? Okay. Did Jesus accuse Martha? What he did was to call Martha to reflection. And that is what Jesus does with everybody that has strayed away. Jesus calls us to reflection. And when Jesus calls our names twice, it's because he has wonderful things he wants to do in us. And he calls Martha twice. And he says, Martha, Martha. Let us look at another Bible incident when he calls somebody by his name twice. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Let us look at that incident. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Okay. He calls somebody else by his name twice. And he says what? Simon, Simon. Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Simon, Simon. Martha, Martha. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 9 and verse 4. Acts chapter 9 and verse 4. What does it say? Acts chapter 9 and verse 4. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, what? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Three Bible incidents where Jesus is calling an individual by his name twice. Martha, Martha, why are you so entangled? Simon, Simon, you're saying that you will be faithful, but the devil has asked to shake you up, but I have prayed for you. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then Saul says, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? Beloved, when for some reason we have strayed away, Jesus will call us by our names to call us to reflect, to call us back to our senses, to be able to follow his directions in our lives. Let me read, just before I end, from that same chapter in The Desire of Ages, in regards to Martha. Let me read something that I found here very interesting. Mary was storing her mind with the precious words falling from the Savior's lips, words that were more precious to her than earth's most costly jewels. And listen to this now. The one thing that Martha needed was a calm, devotional spirit, a deeper anxiety for knowledge concerning the future, for immortal life, and the graces necessary for spiritual advancement. She needed less anxiety for the things which pass away, and more for those things which endure forever. Yes, Martha was doing good things. But there are better things for those of us that are planning to reach where? Eternity. Beloved, the feet of Jesus is the best place where we can choose to be. And everybody has that opportunity to choose the feet of Jesus. Every day, before you endeavor yourself to go out and do whatever you plan to do, please take time. Enough time to be where? At the feet of Jesus Christ. To learn from Him. To listen from Him. To give you peace. To give you hope. To nourish you. To give you strength in order to be victorious. How many today, like Mary, would like to say, Jesus, forgive me. Because on many occasions, I have tried to take control of this work in church or out of church as if though it belonged to me. Forgive me. Because nothing, not even the work in the church belongs to me. It belongs to whom? To you. And if I would only take time to be directed by you, you will show me, you will lead me, and you will guide me correctly to what really needs to be done as we continue walking heavenwards. How many would like to join with me today in prayer? I would like to have special prayer for all of those that would like to take Jesus as their master and take time with Him. You want to come close to me? I want to pray with you all here. Maybe holding hands one with the other to ask the Lord to really be with us. To take time to be with Him. It's necessary. It's important. It's what will really make a difference in our lives. Beautiful. Beautiful. This is not about me. This is about Christ. And about what He can do in our lives. So wonderful, so beautiful to see responses made for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and following the example of Mary. Three times the Bible records that she was at the feet of Jesus because she understood that there's no better place than the feet of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are more than thankful because of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for what Mary did. On the first occasion when she was at your feet, she did not come voluntarily. She was brought there. But it was while at your feet on that first occasion that she found out that there is no better place than your feet. That's the reason why during the rest of her life we find two other Bible incidents that she is found at your feet. I don't know, probably she was there much more times that the Bible does not have a record of. But Lord, she is a good example for each and every one of us. Yes, in church we could have many Marthas today. Energetic. Wanting to do the best. But sometimes wanting to take control of everything instead of placing our lives and sitting at your feet. Father, what a difference it would make if we would be more at your feet. We would still have energy. We would still have enthusiasm to continue doing things, but doing things according to your way and according to your guidance, O Lord. Bless us. lead us and guide us today. And may every day of our lives, may we take enough time, not only once, but maybe twice or three times per day, to be at your feet, because it's the best place where we can be, especially in this end times of history. We need to be more at your feet. Bless us. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's go back to our seats. We're going to sing a wonderful song. It's not in the hymnal. But we just thought it was very, very good to be able to sing that song. I think it will be on the screen. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. We will be singing it. I think it will be played once. Trina, right? It will be played once so that everybody can be familiarized with it again. It's a song that we all know. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's going to play it once and then we all are going to stand and sing together, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Ready? Let us stand. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, oh, what words I hear Him say. Happy place on earth so precious, may it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would look upon the past, for His love has been so gracious, it has won my heart at last. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, where can mortal be more blessed? There I lay my sins and sorrows, and when weary find sweet rest. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I love to weep and pray. While I from His fullness gather. Bless me, O my Savior, bless me, as I'm waiting at Thy feet. Oh, look down in love upon me, let me see Thy face so sweet. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus. Keep me holy as He is. May I prove I've been with Jesus, who is all my righteousness. Heavenly Father, how blessed we are to know that there is no other place like the feet of Jesus Christ. May we find rest, may we find peace at His feet every day, is my prayer. Amen.